The Fox.
Hilariously Melbourne.
Phoebe, Feb and Nick.
Phoebe, Feb and Nick for Burbank Homes. Receive up to $93,500 worth of upgrades for your new home with their free to choose promotion. TNC Supply.
Imagine being so hot that when you go on the dating apps, you struggle to find love. Well, we met someone that does.
Too hot.
You're hot, Tina.
For Tinder.
I think you should give them a shot.
Okay, maybe I will.
Tina, an attractive, eligible woman here in Melbourne. Really shouldn't have a problem finding love, but the dating apps are frustrating. And we hear this. I hear this from a lot of women. And I look at them and I go, how are you, if you don't want to be single, you don't have to be single. But they are fussy. And I think Tina admits she's fussy. But we think she's looking for the wrong things in these guys. She wants guys that work out. Yeah. She wants them to look a certain way. So we are stripping that away and putting her on dates. She knows nothing about them. She doesn't know what they look like. She doesn't know where they live. She doesn't know what they do. And we're just seeing if sparks fly. So she's had two dates that I think have both gone quite well.
Yeah. What do you reckon is the better one? I reckon the number two. I reckon yesterday's was connection wise.
I wasn't here yesterday, unfortunately. Oh. So that's a shame. I'm going. I like number one personally.
That's the only one you heard then.
I know. No, I heard yesterday. Yeah, there was a real connection there too. So one and two are strong. Connections at the moment. How did she go with the third guy we put her on a date with? Are we going to listen to that now?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Hey, how are you?
Good, yourselves?
Good, thank you. What's where are you from?
Mornington.
Okay. Do you train much?
I go to the gym a bit, yeah, probably three times a week or so.
Yeah, nice.
Try hit up with my brother and not massively into like weights and stuff, just cardio, go for a run, stuff like that.
Yeah, nice. How long have you been single for?
I reckon about 3 years now.
Okay. Have you been dating much?
Not really. I mean, I've been on the apps, but haven't really done too much, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
How about yourself?
Yeah, I was just ended something earlier in the year, but yeah.
Yep. How long did that go for?
Oh, just over a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What are you looking for in a partner?
What am I looking for? Someone caring, compassionate, just someone to spend time with, I guess, and, you know, get to know, grow a connection.
Yeah.
Are
you, like, open to, you know, getting married one day? Is that just not something?
Yeah, definitely in the future. I'd love that. Kids in the future, obviously.
Yeah. What was your ex like? Do you have a type?
No, I wouldn't say I have a type. She was probably blonde. She was blonde, blue eyes, but I wouldn't say I have a type at all, really.
Okay. Do you guys still talk?
Nah.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you and your ex?
Nah.
Yeah. It didn't end badly, but it didn't end great. So there's no need to really talk.
Yeah, that's true. What's the best and worst thing about dating you?
The best and worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
The best would be, shit, you've stumped me here.
Pressure.
This is a hard question.
I'll go first then.
All right, you go first.
The best thing about me is I'm super caring and I'm very loyal. And probably, you know, the worst thing about me is I can be very impatient.
Yeah, it sounds similar. I'd say I'm a caring person. To someone that I'm really sort of into.
Mm-hmm.
Very loyal, sort of never cheated anything like that before.
That's good.
Worst thing would be I can be a bit stubborn probably a lot of the time. I'd say that's probably the worst thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for, you know, chatting to me.
No dramas. all good. I look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Right, perfect. Thanks, heaps.
Bye.
Ooh, I wouldn't have thought so.
I liked him.
Did you?
I did. I liked him. I think he sounded really genuine. And
of course he's going to think that he's awesome.
Hey, can I ask you both a question?
No.
And I'm genuinely interested in the answer. Actually, the three of you, Josiah, Nick, Fev. When I hear Tina date, I realise Tina and I are very different and the way we would date is very different. So with Tina, And I'm going to say, I think it's an advantage. You boys probably prefer this. I find Tina quite reluctant to give of herself. So she's very, I'm going to
give a little bit.
That's what I mean. I'm like, this is me. And I just have fun and relax and am very warm and nice. And maybe that's too much. I don't know. Because I'm listening to Tina, I'm going, oh.
Hold on. Are you asking us who would we rather date? Is that what you're getting at here, Fee?
I'd say Tina. I'd rather date.
Yeah.
Because you're already there. You're an open book. You want to take the layers.
You're the mystery.
It's a challenge.
No mystery. Yeah, right. And no then mystery,
once you
thanks.
Once you unpack the layers, you go, now I'm going over to Boxy. I know what I hear.
So, Feb's answer both.
There's a happy medium somewhere in between. Now, tomorrow, that's her three dates. Tina has to make a choice. Wow. This is going to be huge. I believe we're going to be meeting the date as well. Is that correct? The one she chooses?
Yes. Oh, we're going to see sparks fly in person.
Do we have photos? I know Tina hasn't seen photos.
Well, here's the thing. Before Tina selects the guy that she wants to go on an actual date out for dinner on the weekend, we're going to show her the photos and we're going to ask her who she would pick just on looks.
Can we have a guess?
And let's see if it matches up with the guy she's actually picked.
Can we run a book, us three?
Yeah.
Who are you going to pick?
Well, see, I was sick yesterday, so I didn't hear date two, but by all accounts, I'm going to say date two based on you all thought that that was her biggest connection.
It's not your choice, Fifi, Feb, and Nick. It's Tina's. Find out Melbourne 7:30 tomorrow who she chooses. Does it line up with the one that she picks in the photos as well? I cannot wait for this. Let's get on Regard now. 101.9 The Fox. Morning. It's Fifi, Feb, and Nick.
101.9 The Fox.
8 feet. Whether you're at home or not, we need you for this. This is a big one.
When you need the play-by-play.
I've heard of the NFL.
Or the biggest sporting moments.
I've heard of the NBA.
There's one person to turn to.
I used to play indoor cricket. There you go. Inter-school gymnastics and inter-school diving. They're my areas of expertise.
And they are three massive sports.
Sports Report.
Guys, time to talk sport. I know you two I want to talk you through the soccer. Yes. Soccer's big at the moment. The World Cup is on in Dubai. Qatar. That's Qatar. Nearby.
It's not far away.
I've been to Qatar.
Have you?
I've been to Doha. Is that Qatar?
Yeah, that's the capital of Qatar.
Yep, I've been there. Yeah. So the soccer's going great for lots of countries. The World Cup's on fire.
Yeah.
Australia not doing so well. Yesterday lost 4-0.
No, 4-1,
and it's not love.
Love, it's tennis.
But another big news story.
Argentina
that has
got beat. Japan beat Brazil. Germany.
Yeah.
Is that unusual?
Yep.
For Japan, is Japan very good? So they wouldn't. But Germany's very good.
And they beat them. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's expected, isn't it?
No, Japan's nowhere near as good as Germany.
No, Germany's like the
favourites.
Oh,
Japan beat Germany.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia beat
Argentina.
That's an upset.
Yeah.
That's another upset. These are good upsets. It's fun, soccer. Now, one of the most famous soccer players in the world, you may have heard of him. His name is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
Ronaldo. Now, he has been sacked. He's left his club.
Wow. This is amazing.
Now, he's Portuguese and he plays. He doesn't play for Portugal, though. He doesn't play for Portugal. He plays for Manchester United. United.
No, that's his club. He's playing for Portugal in the World Cup.
Yeah. That's his country.
Oh, that's what I meant. So he's Portuguese, but he doesn't play.
Why'd you say the opposite then?
So he plays for Manchester United, or as we like to call them, Man United.
Yeah.
That's where David Beckham played, by the way. Another tidbit you might like to know.
What number? Did they wear the same number, those two? Or?
Do they wear numbers?
Oh.
So I thought they put their names on their backs. No. Anyway, he's quit. Now, this is big news because he's got nowhere to go. This is arguably one of the most valuable players in the world. Well, I don't know. I think I'm reading between the lines. I don't know much about soccer. I think he got sacked because he went on Piers Morgan's talk show and he talked about how much he hated the CEO. His name's Hans, I think it was.
You made that up.
Eric Haag. Eric. He hates the CEO. Everyone at Manchester, no, that's from the CEO, that quote. Where's his quote?
You know when you do a sports report and you absolutely know nothing about.
Oh, that's right.
Read the article, bro.
I have read the article, but I was trying to do it without looking down because I want you two to think that I know this stuff, but I do have to look down.
We know you don't.
He went on.
You just said they don't have numbers.
He went on Piers Morgan. He said he felt betrayed by the club, that he didn't like the CEO. So I believe what probably happened behind the scenes is that Eric, the CEO, pulled him in and went, mate, the bit about how you hate me and you don't like your team members, you're going to have to go. And then, so they've come out, the statement is, it was a mutually decided
Sounds
decision.
Like the project.
What? Well, that sounds nothing like the project.
All the people leaving the project.
But I don't think that's anything to do with doing an interview on Piers Morgan.
No, but I'm saying, for instance, when you say, it's a mutual decision that they're all leaving, but I'm saying that could be the same as the project.
No, not at all. Well, we know for a fact that's not at all.
Do they wear numbers at the project?
No, they don't.
They did have. What? Carrie was one. She'd gone.
Yeah. What's that Hallier 15 jersey I bought then from the Vic Market?
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Good morning. How's this for a story that I was reading this morning? There's a man and he has been married to his partner for 30 years and that is a great effort. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's well done. 30 years.
Get life for that.
but he hasn't. They haven't been naked together for 15 years, so yeah, half
married
of that
life,
marriage.
Bro.
No, but what's interesting is his wife called it and said to him about 10 years in, I don't do naked. I don't do it. Mm. And this is interesting because and no one should be ashamed of that. There are people called Never Nudes. Have you heard of Never Nudes?
Yeah, Arrested Development.
Yes.
Tobias Funke.
Yes, a great episode of... In fact, well, you brought it up.
Character.
Why don't we have a listen? This is Jason Bateman's character having a chat with his sister, Portia de Rossi, about Tobias.
He's a Never Nude.
Is that exactly what it sounds like?
Tobias suffered a rare psychological affliction of never being able to be completely naked.
I thought he just liked cutoffs.
Me too.
Now, obviously, that's a very funny show, one of the best.
Right.
And I think they've made that up. Oh. But the idea, like, there are people that just don't do nudity, even on their own. Like, you know, maybe they just don't like that feeling.
Mate, Alex doesn't do nude.
Clothes on.
Ever.
Well, I don't know whether it's personal, like, it could be personal choice.
It's personal choice. Like, she'll go into the shower and, like, lock all the doors and stuff. But when I'm in the shower, it's all right for you to come in. Oh. Like, I don't care about being nude. And when you do the funny business, always has to have a top on or something. Like, bro, just get nude, man. I've seen your body before. Who cares?
Well,
what's wrong with you? You look gross.
10, 60.
But then you try to make them say they look good. And like, oh, you're just saying that because you want to do the business. No, no, no. You look good, man. Take your top off.
You look good, man.
I want to see everything.
Please tell me you use those exact phrases. Come on, bro.
I do, bro. I say bra. She goes, I'm not bra, man. What do you call me bra all the time? Do you have a problem getting nude?
No, I love being nude. Yeah. And that's to the point where only last week, Trixie, because I'm in a house with two girls on my own, and I love that. But Trixie said the other day, Mummy, put some clothes on. And I did think she's nine now.
Yeah.
But I will come out to the kitchen or come out to lounge room.
You walk
around
the backyard, don't you?
Not the backyard.
Go on.
What happened there?
Go on.
No. What I have to put nappies in the bin, straight in the bin.
Yeah.
So I have been in the middle of like getting Daisy in the bath and I've been nude and she's nude and I'll do the nappy and I'm like, oh God, this nappy smells. I've really got to get it to a bin quickly. So yeah, I have run out really quickly nude. But you don't want to broadcast that.
No, well, you're on an estate, so it won't matter.
No, I just mean, yeah, but no.
You wouldn't get nude, Nick.
No.
Are you a nudie?
Not a nude. Not too much, as in, what do you mean?
Poor Looch.
Oh, what do you mean nude? You've got to be nude at some point.
No, but like
but
around
do you
other
like
people.
Being
I'm
nude.
Not walking around, not with two little boys. They'll just run past and punch you.
They'd have to jump up.
Just two little blokes running around. Little boys are very good at just finding. Yeah. If I'm having a nap on the couch, I know how I'm waking up.
The old capital of Thailand gag.
Yep, that's the one. But no, I'm not a flaunter. I'm not walking around the house nude.
But the thing is, I don't even think nudity is about flaunting. I think it's about, because I used to, I don't do it now, but particularly when I lived alone before I had kids, I like that feeling of taking your clothes off when you walk in the door. Like
I'm
one of those walk in the door and take your clothes off. Whereas, you know, I've got friends that'll be in suits and sit in the suit on the couch. And I'm like, you've got to take that suit off.
Yeah,
like,
I hate it. So I'm with you. I've got all girls at home, so I can't walk around nude, but I feel most in my, I feel most complete, I should say. How to, what's the wording? Most
comfortable. Yourself?
Most myself in the mornings because we get up very early and I shower downstairs because it's a grouse shower and everyone's asleep. So I walk out, I put all my clothes on the couch outside in the lounge room and I walk out the shower with no clothes on. I'm just like, I feel like I'm
free, liberated.
And then I get real scared just in case one of them go to the toilet, so I quickly put my clothes on. But there's that little moment where I feel good.
13 10 60 though. This is an interesting area of never nudes. Is nude? Have you not been nude? You just don't do nude. Nobody sees you nude. Even maybe you've got a partner and they never see you nude. See, that blows my mind. But 13 10 60. This is fascinating.
Oh, it's a real thing, bro.
Okay.
Josiah, do you get nude?
Mate, absolutely.
What?
What are you talking about?
You're a nude.
He doesn't have pants on now. Mate, I got work.
I go to nude beaches. Please. I love being nude.
Or maybe you're 13, 10, 60 frustrated because you can't get you're in a relationship where your partner's never nude.
Call up.
I got tricked into getting nude publicly once.
Pardon?
That old chestnut.
Well, now that I think about it, it is a bit of that old chestnut because I was new to radio and I was working at Triple M, surprise, surprise. Oh. And it was I'm going to say I was about 24, 25 at the time, and I was working on the breakfast show, but I was a producer behind the scenes, and I was sort of doing their street stuff, so they'd send me out to do wacky things. And one of the wacky things was there'd been a drought, and apparently there is a cultural tradition somewhere in Thailand where if there's a drought, women go out and dance naked. It's like a naked rain dance. And it starts raining, and there'd been a drought over a summer, and so the radio station decided we'll do a big naked rain dance and we'll go out to a big oval. And I was told I was going just as a correspondent, so just with a microphone to talk to everybody. So there we were out on this oval. There were about 300-400 women, all naked, all got naked. Good on them. They were great. And then I said to my boss at the time, but how do I avoid not being naked? And he said, well, we'll put you in like a big ceremonial robe. So it was like it would look like I was naked under it. And he said, you probably will have to get naked under it, but just wear the robe.
How did you fall? Imagine trying to do that to you now.
I know. And then wear the robe and like wear the crown. So I was like the high priestess. So I stood there and I was crossing back to the live breakfast show and everybody all these women just started cheering, get it off, get it off, get it off.
And you succumbed to that peer pressure.
Like Nick Cody, live on air.
Wow.
Women, 300 women demanding I take my clothes off. What could I do? So I took it off. And the next minute I'm running around naked and it was so liberating and I loved it. I realised that's...
Do you know we're going through a bit of a drought at the moment, Foxy?
I don't think we are.
It's going to be hot over the weekend.
The roads were very wet this morning.
What do we do the last hour and a half of this show nude? Yeah. Anyone up for that?
Nah. Oh, I like being nude.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
I'm
okay.
Get nude.
Why not?
101.9 The Fox. For the kids, no matter where they're from, they're gonna have a gift on Christmas morn. From Mountain to Doreen, yes, this Christmas it will be for the kids.
We're doing it for the kids this Christmas. We know lots of families are doing it tough and we don't want any kids to miss out on the special joy they get on Christmas morning when they unwrap presents. And we do feel for families that have been doing it particularly tough, and we all know that it's not easy. It's hard enough paying for food and paying the bills, and then when it comes to what your kids want for Christmas, that can be an extra added pressure. That's just too hard for some families to deal with. And you can head to our Foxwin page, register your details for a donation. You can call us now, 131060. Remember, last year we raised over $250,000 to get kids around Melbourne Christmas presents. And one of the families that we helped was Amanda. Now, Amanda, a wonderful woman, has three foster children in her care, all under the age of five. She, in fact, had to give up her job as a registered nurse just to look after them. And what an amazing human Amanda is. And she joins us now. Amanda, thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, Fifi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, now, Amanda, I mean, that is a lot that you're dealing with, and how wonderful of you to bring in three kids into your home, into your family. How important was this? Because we know last year that we were able to help you along with Anglicare Victoria and getting the kids that you're looking after presents. What did that mean? How did that play out?
Look, it was huge, Fifi. At that time, I had two foster boys in my care, and we actually, I thought that was really important with the blessing that we were given to be able to pay that forward. So I took both my boys to the shops, and they purchased a gift from Kmart, which we popped under the wishing tree. And then I purchased the same gift for them. And so Christmas morning, they opened a gift, and we remembered that another little boy or girl was opening a gift that was given from them.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It was really important, yeah.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Amanda. And not only have they gotten the gift that they really wanted, but they've also experienced the gift of giving themselves.
I felt that was really important. I think, you know, it's really important. It's not just about receiving. It's about the kids being able to give. And so Christmas morning when they opened the present, we remembered the child that was opening a gift from them. So it was really lovely.
Now, Amanda, you sound like you've got a massive heart. You gave up your job, which is obviously what you wanted to do throughout your life, to look after these three kids under five. You've got the two older kids have got additional needs. How important is this to raise money for kids that are in need?
Oh, it's huge, you know, like the opportunity to be able to give to these kids, the opportunity to make a difference and to know in your heart that on Christmas morning you've made a difference in the lives of children who you know, are doing it tough or who, are, you know, who it hasn't been easy for. I mean, my boys are only 4 and 6, so they're quite young. So, you know, just to be able to have that, have the opportunity for me to be able to give additional for them and to have them receive that was just, it's fantastic. It was so good.
Well, Amanda, thank you for coming on the show and thank you for everything you're doing. And it's just a reminder, there are a lot of foster kids in the community that we're helping through this and you can be helping. And it's wonderful when you see kids involved in the act of giving. Yeah. We've got Aston from Altona Meadows. Hi, Aston.
Hello.
Aston, how old are you?
It's my birthday today. I'm turning 12.
Hey,
Happy birthday, Aston!
Thank you.
Did you get an Aston Martin for Christmas or for your birthday and now you're going to give it away?
No, but I'm going to give $20 of my own money to help support like this foundation because I think it's a really good thing to do and I want every kid to have presents on Christmas.
Well done, you legend.
Jeez, Aston, that is so beautiful. That gets me emotional. The kids not thinking of themselves and thinking of other kids is just such a beautiful thing, and it bodes well for the future because, Aston, you will be a leader in the future, and the fact that you're thinking of others is just a wonderful thing. Your
especially
parents should be so proud.
Giving away his birthday money.
I know.
Mate, how good's that? $20?
Yeah.
Well done,
Aston. You have a fantastic birthday today.
Thank you.
We've got Kylie in Geelong. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, how are you?
Kyle.
Great. Kylie, would you like to donate for doing it for the kids?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kylie. That is so generous of you. Thank you.
And you have a foster child yourself, Kyle?
Yes, I do. And I have 4 kids and I'm a single mum, but I'd love to help children out.
Oh, well done,
Kylie. See that kind of spirit from somebody already doing, that's a lot as a single parent. I'm a single parent of 2. To have 4.
And bring in a foster kid.
And taking in a foster child, Kylie, you know, you're just a wonderful human. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And excellent for the children.
It is. It's all about kids. It's all for the kids. Polly in Croydon. Hi, Polly.
Hi. How are you going?
Great. Polly.
Polly, would you like to make a donation?
Yeah, I'd like to make a donation of $1,000, please.
Wow.
Sorry, what?
Did you what?
$1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000, Polly? That is so generous.
Aw, thanks. It's not.
Polly,
thank you.
No, thank you for that. That's wow. This is, when we open the phones and you hear this coming from Melburnians looking after other Melburnians and particularly the kids, it means so much.
So, Paul, your mum used to go to the children's hospital to make children happy and give out toys. Is that right?
Absolutely. My mum used to like spend so much money during Christmas, and she'd come home with all these toys, and I got so super excited that I'm going to get a toy this Christmas. But no, she used to head off to Children's Hospital every year and just hand them out to all the children. And yeah, so I just want to follow the trend, which I can't do really. Going to hospitals and just hand out presents. So I thought I'll just make $1,000 donation. So hopefully that'll help all the kids that don't have anything.
Well done, Holly.
That is wonderful. And wonderful to see that spirit of giving going through the generations, taking after your mum there, Polly. She'd be so proud. And we're so grateful. $1,000, Polly. Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Not at all.
1019, The Fox.
Now, I want to pose a question to you, Fee, and to Nick. Now, are me and Alex bad parents? We...
Do I answer now?
You can answer if you would like. Now, when it comes to school and parents being involved, you know, schools, they have a lot of functions and musicals and parent-teacher interviews that just suck. And the last night, there was an awards night for my girl's school, which was at the Palais Theatre.
St Kilda. the Melbourne Comedy Festival gala's held.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And, they've got to wear full uniform, and their parents are supposed to come and buy tickets. And I'm a pretty outgoing guy. I love talking to everyone. But when it comes to this tedious stuff that schools do, I am and Alex are just a no-go zone. We don't go. So the kids are like, Dad, Mum, why don't you ever come to any of these things? Because it's boring and it's an awards night.
Yeah.
You kids aren't going to win anything. So if you won something, I would come because I'd be proud to see my kid go up there, get an award, but you're not. And I don't want to see other kids getting up there that are smarter than you. And then I look at Alex and go, oh God, we're not that good at parents. Huh? Why aren't our kids smart? I don't want to be brought down by the other kids. I'm happy. I love you guys. And I love what you do. But going to awards night, just depressing. You sit there, your bum gets sore, no seats. And people are talking up there that you don't absolutely give a stuff about. Because, oh, good on you. You're champion. You're the smartest kid in the school. You got the ducks. Well done, son. That'll hold you in good stead. I could not give a crap. Now, is that bad parenting? I don't go to parent-teacher interviews.
No. The school should know, Fev, by the way, that you turning up to an awards night where you're not winning anything, there's a chance that you will get loose. They should go back to some old television footage from the Brownlow and go, unless a Favola's winning an award, keep him out.
It's even like musicals and stuff. Like I went to one of the kids' musicals, and I reckon it was Lenny back in year seven, and it was like a Christmas thing. And it went for 3.5 hours. Ooh. She was a tree. She was on for about one set and she didn't move. I'm like, this is boring. And then they got this kid that's up there singing like a bloody Ed Sheeran. Oh, well done, hero. You're a real good singer. Like, I don't want to know about it. But you're one of those parents.
Fee
that
has to be the opposite.
Yeah. Well, see, you've started this by saying, "Am I a bad parent?" I'm not going to judge your parenting because we are very aligned in many ways.
Only thing we're
not. Okay. What if I answer your question by telling you something that I did yesterday? So this will probably answer your question. So I've been sick as a dog.
I hope you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, so Trixie Stage School performance was last night in St Kilda at the National Theatre, where just down the road from where you should have been.
Wow.
And I was so sick. And then my mum, she's got sick, so she couldn't even babysit Daisy. So we're all sick. So I did. Yeah. I went in. I took Daisy. I had a 3-year-old on my lap.
Oh. So you went and made other parents sick.
Trixie was on stage for all of 3 minutes and, it didn't wrap up till 10. I've got nice Daisy awake.
Nice of you to turn up to some show yesterday.
Why though? It's
because
so boring. Get someone a
video
or something.
Because I'm a mum and I need to show her that support. And if I'm not, that's what I think parenting is, turning up.
No,
it's not. Like parent-teacher interviews. Oh,
no, hold on. That's
I don't
different.
Go to parent-teacher. We haven't been to one of our kids' parent-teacher interviews ever. And a teacher's messages and we go, mate, we pay for our kids to go to school. My kids are with you longer than they are with me.
But don't you want to talk to find out that you get an insight into your children?
I know my kids. And if you can't teach them and make them smarter, well, they're going to the wrong school.
But I'm interested in that. I love hearing that stuff. I go to parent teacher because I just want to go, what is she like when I'm not around? Like, what does she do at school?
So that's needy.
No, the parent teacher interview is one thing, but I know the school musicals. Every year when I went to high school, there was a school musical and they'd send you a form. And every year mum would say, sorry, he's grandparent passed away. But then five in a row, they go, hold on.
How many grandparents?
I've got five grandparents. Tried it the 6th year. They sent mum a note that said, how many tickets would you like? 1, 2, 3, or 4? She crossed it all out and wrote 0 and said, I'd rather put hot needles in my eyes than watch a kid's school musical.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
They, you know how they send the emails out for you to let them know that you're coming? We don't. But I don't even reply. They ring and then we go, oh, I'm not even answering that.
Aren't there just some things in life that, no, you don't love it, it's not the most enjoyable thing, but you just do it for the people you love. You just do it for them. Isn't that part of life?
The kids don't want to go.
Well, there you go. Okay. 131060. Well, let's open the phones. Are you going to these things to support your kids? Or, like, Fev, have you just gone, nah, I'm not doing it?
Yeah, it's not an arrogant thing. It's just, I just don't want to hang out with anyone else.
Mel and Rye. Hi, Mel.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Good, Mel.
Mel, what kind of parent are you?
I go to every parent-teacher interview and I drag my poor suffering children along.
Yeah, see, that's just not well.
No, it's well, great.
I feel like I need to go and thank the teachers for all the effort they put into my kid, but also just to let them know that I am present and I'm there helping them out.
I like that, Mel. I like to be present. I don't help out that much. That's the only thing. But I do like to be involved. I love to see stuff. How exciting. Like even last night, so Trixie at her stage school, she was dressed up as a giant jellyfish. Like it was hilarious. Daisy was like, where's Sissy? And I'm like, she's that jellyfish, but they all look like jellyfish. So like trying to figure out which one's your kid.
Are you that annoying parent that has a video camera and they all stand up and then you can't see anything?
Yeah, you're not allowed to video. Oh. I might be the annoying parent that does sneaky videos, but...
Whoa! That. So that when Mel saying that, Boxy, gives me like shivers.
Really?
Oh, God. And they're like at nighttime. I'm in bed by 7 o'clock.
Oh, no, I agree.
Look, I want to go to parent-teacher interviews.
It's hard work, but you push yourself. Melanie in King Lake.
Telling an athlete that.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, now. Melanie. Are you into the school extracurricular activities with the kids or not?
No, no, no. Fev, I am absolutely with you. Yes. What a waste of time.
Yes.
I had a year 12 valedictory dinner last Friday night.
Oof, yuck.
I had to turn up drunk just to get through.
Yes.
And I made my daughter leave early, no photos later. It was, I'm like you, 7 o'clock bedtime by 10 o'clock. No, I needed to be at home in bed.
Yeah, Mel, you are singing from the same rooftop as I'm on.
What would you do, Fev and Mel, as an example? So when I knew I was getting sick, I said to Trixie the night before, Mummy probably can't go to see your stage school because I'm not feeling very well. And she started crying.
Yeah, so,
that's all right.
Well.
Builds character.
Oh, gosh, you wouldn't. Oh, wouldn't even go if they were crying, saying, but I want you to come and see me.
No, mate, toughen up, sweetheart.
The lessons from the last 2 years are if you're sick, stay at home.
Yeah, you're 9 years old. What are you crying for? You haven't even lived yet. I'll give you something to cry about.
Hilariously Melbourne. Phoebe, Feb and Nick. At Burbank Homes, you know what you're up for with no hidden surprises. Feel comfortable with fixed price contracts and price freeze periods. Building new? Search Burbank today. Phoebe, Feb and Nick.